Okay, today's daf is Vav Basra, daf Pei Zayin. We left off in daf Pei Vav Amid Beis toward the bottom of the page. We're first going to discuss about, we already started to discuss yesterday, we'll go back to it, when the deal is, you make a deal with someone for a bulk sale, but you not only make the deal for a bulk sale, you also specify by the unit. So the Gemara is going to tell us that halacha is that you're kona each unit at a time because you specified by the unit. So the Gemara is going to have two challenges to that idea that you're kona one unit at a time. Then the Gemara is going to discuss why it is that you're kona in the Mishnah all of the pishtan by just detaching some of it from the ground. You have a whole field full of pishtan, you take some of it, and the Mishnah said you're automatically kona all of it. By what mechanism does that kinyan work? Then we're going to have a new Mishnah which is going to discuss what happens if the price changes before the transfer is complete between the mocher and the lokeach, and what happens if it's not in the kelim of the mocher or the kelim of the lokeach, but there's a sirsur in between them. There's a third party that does the measuring out, and it somehow breaks in the middle, so who takes the loss of that? And the Mishnah is also going to discuss when you are selling, let's say, a liquid like oil, and you're selling out of your kelim, how much do you have to let the kelim drip in order to complete the sale? Do you have to sit there and let every last drop drip out of it? And if the kli is tilted on its side and a little bit of it pools at the bottom, does that belong to the mocher or does that belong to the lokeach? And the Gemara is going to point out that there seems to be a difference between the pooled oil when it's a mocher to a lokeach than in a case when you're giving truma, that for some reason the gathered oil in a tipped barrel belongs to the mocher when you're selling it, but when you're giving it to truma, it belongs to the truma, which is the recipient. So the Gemara is going to discuss why the discrepancy. And then on the Mishnah on Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to talk about how when a chenveni sends a delivery with a child, you send a child to the store with money, the chenveni gives the child the item that you wanted to buy, and he gives the child the change, and the kid loses the change, he loses the item, and he comes back with nothing. So who's responsible? Is that the chenveni's responsibility because who gives something to a child? Or is that the father's responsibility who sends the child to the store with money in the first place? So that's going to be the discussion in the Mishnah. And then in the Gemara is going to have four explanations why it is that the Mishnah says that if the child is holding its tzlochis and the chenveni measures out the item that he's selling into the tzlochis, then the chenveni is pater. Why in the world would the chenveni be pater in such a case? So the Gemara is going to discuss what the logic is. What the logic for that is, it's going to be four different shitos that the Gemara is going to have. So let's begin again. Let's actually move back a little bit and start again from Ravu Shmuel Damri Tarvayu, about 10 lines before the end of the page, on Pei Vav Amud Beis. Ravu Shmuel Damri Tarvayu, Kur Bishloshim Ani Mochalach, if you make a bulk order and you only state the bulk price, you say that I'm selling you a kor for shloshim, 30 sela, even though a kor has 30 se'in, so you could have done the math that it's probably one sela for each sa'a, but you didn't say one sela for each sa'a. You said I'm selling you a whole kor for 30 sla'im. So then the halacha is that you can always be chozer up until the last sa'a has been transferred, because the entire bulk order has not been fulfilled until the last sa'a has been transferred. But if you get more specific and you say, kor b'shloshim, sa'a b'sela ani mochalach, each sa'a in this kor is being priced at one sela, then rishon kana. Then you're kona one at a time. So if you have 10 of the se'in have already been measured out, he's kona 10 of the se'in for that for 10 slayim. One sela at a time, one sa'a at a time, the kinyan works. So the Gemara is going to have two challenges for this. Challenge number one, tashma. The Rashbam points out that tashma is normally a lashon of a raya as opposed to a lashon of a challenge. So Rashbam points out, mishum de since recording a brisa that we already already had discussed on Daf Pei Hei, and we had a lot to say about this brisa already, so we use the Lashon of Tashma, because it's a brisa that we're already familiar with, that we've already asked a lot of questions about. But really, it's a Meisve that we're asking from this brisa. Im Hoysa Mida Shel Echad Mehen. If they're using a measuring utensil that belongs to one of them, the Lokeach or the Mocher, Rishon Kana, V'afal Gav, Delonis Mala Mida. Your Kona one at a time, even though the Mida is not full, even though you didn't fully measure it out. So how could that be? I thought, according to what we're saying now, it's all, if you make a bulk sale, it only transfers, the Kinyan is only Chal, once the entire measurement is given over. So the Gemara explains, yeah, Hachamayaskinan, Kigon to Amarle, Hin Bishne Masar Slaim, Lug Bisela Ani Mocher Lach. That yes, when are you kona whatever's in the mida? That's if you also specified by the unit. You didn't just specify the bulk order, you also specified by the unit. So then you're going to be kona one unit at a time. Ukatam Rav Kana, Shnosu Sayubihin. Just like Rav Kana said that the hin measurement that they had in the Beis HaMikdash used to have like lines on the side to mark off different measurements. So here as well, they had a measurement, it was like a measuring cup where they had lines on the side that told you exactly how much was being measured out. If you look at the Rashbam, Kedam Rav Kadam Mesechs Menachos, Shnos Osoyibin Shal Kodesh, that in the hin of the Beis HaMikdash, it would be marked off. Ad Kan Lepar, Ad Kan La'ayil, Ad Kan La'keves. This is how much oil you need for a carbon for that you're bringing, that's a par, and for an ayil, and for a keves. Kolomar, Simanim L'midas, Chatziyayin Lepar, Shlish Sin La'ayil, R'viyasayin, L'keves Yayin, that you need a Chatziyin for a par, Shlish Sin for an ayil, R'viyasayin, L'keves. So you need, so marked off, what's a R'viyas, what's a Chatzi, what's a Shlish, and marked off in a measuring cup in the Beis HaMikdash. So here as well, we assume that you're dealing with a measuring cup, a halachic measuring cup in the case of the Beis HaMikdash, but in the case of a Mekach HaMemkar, just a practical measuring cup to know exactly how much is in each thing. I remember when my sister came back from Michalala many, many, many years ago, she brought me back a measuring cup that had marked off a Revius Krachna'a, a Revius Chazanish. So it's a nice thing that you can know. I've lost it now. I didn't appreciate it at the time. Now I probably appreciate it. But yeah, you have a measuring cup that marks off exactly what you need. So if you look at Tosfos, Kedam Rav Kahana Shnos Sayibahin, Tosfos says this measuring cup is Rav Kahana's Chiddush, that they had a measuring cup in the Beis HaMikdash. It says, Temel Rabbeinu Chaim, Vala lo Rav Kahana Amra El Mishnehi, Beperek Beis Midos. There's a Mishnah Mesechus Menachos. Rav Kahana wasn't the one that was Mechadish, the idea that they had a hin measuring cup to tell you Chatzi and Revius Sayin. No, this is something that was a Beferish in the Mishnah. Vomari de Perka Motziyayin Tanan, Sid Kide Lasos Andifi, Umefarish Rav Kahana, Mai Andifi, Shnosos, Kiditnan Shnosoy Bin, Hilkach, maybe Achor Rav Kahana, Dashmin Dafil Bemido Shal Chol Osin. Now Rav Kahana was the one that introduced the idea that they used to use measuring cups even for non Mikdash purposes. In Echinami, the Mishnah says that they used by the Mikdash that they had to mark off the hin. Rav Kahana was the one that came up with the notion that it wasn't only by Mikdash, that it was even for Chol that they would have such things. From the Mishnah Menachos, you only see that they had such a thing by Kodesh. You don't see that they had such a thing by Chol. So that's why we quote Rav Kahana for this idea. So anyway, so the first kasha that we had on this idea that the when you measure out by the unit, that that you're kona one unit at a time, but if it's in bulk, you're not kona one unit at a time. So the first kasha is answered, that the case where you're kona rishon must be where it's clearly marked off by the unit. So says the Gemara Tashma. Further, we have another challenge. Hasocher sapoel lasisma legoren hayom bedinar ulugoren yafasela. So, what happens exactly? You hire a worker, but you're hiring him now, in Nisan, in order to. That's I guess a daf yomi coincidence. V'nosu noscharo achshav bin Nisan. You're paying him now in Nisan, so the Gemara knows that right now we're holding in Nisan. Kedei lasasimo begoran, in order that he's going to work for you later when it comes time to thresh. You know, right now everything's just, you're just beginning to plant to let things grow over the summer. So this is for way in the future he's going to be working with you, but you're already paying him up front. You're paying him right now. Hayom bedina kolomar. Kol yom, says Rashbam, kol yom shel yimos hagoren bedinar. So you say, for each day of work that you're going to do with me, come around Sukkot time, I'm going to be paying you a dinar. V'nosin lo achshav lamedinar lamedimei hagoren. I'm paying you 30 dinar right now, the day after Pesach, so that you're going to work for me 30 days at the end of the summer. And we don't say mehayom. It's not mehayom. It's the 30 days that's going to happen way off in the future. But it happens to be that when it comes that time to do the work, he can get a lot more than a dinar per day when it actually comes the time to do the work. Ulugar and Yafar Hashbam writes, Scharu sela b'kol yom, shebesela yachal haskar atzmo, avu b'shvil hakdamos hama'os oz l'gabei. He's given you a deal that he's only going to accept a dinar per day, even though he can get a sela, which is 4 dinars per day, at the time that that work actually happens, because you're paying him up front. He could use the cash right now, and you're paying him months in advance of when he actually has to do the work. So that is asalahanos hemenu. You're not allowed to do that. Why not? What's the problem with that? Says the Rashbam, mishum demechzi ki agar natali shenosin lo zeh apol sela bimos agarim b'shvil dinar shenosin lo benisan vimten lo ad achshav. It looks a little bit like ribbis. It looks like he's saying that I'm going to give you less money now because I'm giving it to you in advance. If I were to give it to you later, I'd give you more money. So the fact that you're getting the time value of money whenever you consider the time value of money, that's always a violation of ribbis. So that's asur to do. However, it says the Brisa further, aval im scharo mehayom bedinar liyom ulugar niyafasela mutter. Let's say your employment starts now, and I'm going to pay you not for 30 days at the end of the summer. I'm going to pay you 100 dinar for 100 days starting today. Now, it happens to be your time is worth about a dinar a day right now because there's not much to do. But toward the end of the contract, your time is going to be worth 4 dinars a day. But still, it's 100 dinars for 100 days. That is mutter. The Rashbam explains, avum sachra me'ayom, me'ayom b'me'a dinar, v'nasan lo scharo achshav, and I'm paying you all 100 dinar right now. Later on, he'll be able to charge 4 dinars for a day. Since he starts work today, mutter. That's the key. We view the entire term of his employment as one major purchase. I am renting you for 100 dinar for 100 days, but it's one, it's not by the unit, it's one bulk order. This isn't considered that you're paying him less for the time, because he's starting right now. It's not waiting any amount of time. So that's it's as if he started the work right now, even the work that's going to be done in the Yimei HaGoren, which is the more valuable work, but it started right now, so I'm paying you right now. That's 100% mutter. So now the Gemara says, here's the kasha. If you're going to assume that when I tell you a bulk order, but then I also specify the unit price, then I'm kona one unit at a time. So when I hire you for 100 dinar for 100 days, yeah, it's a bulk order of 100 dinar, but it's clear that it's 1 dinar per day. So how do we view this as just one major term of employment of 100 dinar? No, it's clearly 1 dinar per day. Hachinami kama kama mifsak pasak. Each day your dinar is earned, and then the next day is a brand new day. It's a brand new kinyan. Va'asaleanos emenu. And therefore it should also be a problem of ribbis. It should also be a problem of agar natar, that I'm setting the terms of employment at a much discounted rate because I'm paying you up front today for employment for days of work that you're going to be doing in 2.5 months from now that are are worth a lot more to me than what I'm actually paying you for it. And don't tell me it's one bulk order. It's not. It's clearly one dinar per day, and therefore we should split the days apart. Mi dinar liyom ugarin yafasela mutter amai vagor natalihu. So why is it when you say mi dinar liyom and it happens to be in the time of the goren, his work is going to be valued at a sela, not at a dinar? Why is that mutter? That should be considered like ribbis. As that same Rashbam we were in the middle of continues, Vahacha dechikor bishloshim sa'a b'selahu shari hiskir lases lo dinar liyom v'lo kamalei stama adimos ha-goren anischarcha b'mei ha-dinar. He didn't just say, I'm hiring you for 100 dinar until the days of the goren. He said, 100 days, 100 dinar, dinar each day. So he specified the unit price. Va'afilu achi katani mutter. And still, it says over here that it's mutter. V'chayiv la'ashlim. V'kasha la'hani damri rishon rishon kana v'ashar lo kana. So this is difficult according to the shita that we learned, that if you say, that Rav Shmuel said, that if you specify the unit price, you're kona one at a time. V'kimet shezel lo kana amai mutter. If it's not, if he hasn't been kona, then why is it mutter? Kimid yachal achsabo the kol yom v'yom chash mechir b'fnei atzma havinami agar natali nimos agoren. If each day the kinyan is made, so the guy can back out 45 days into the deal, 50 days into the deal, 60 days into the deal, take his 45, 50, 60 dinarim, and the rest is void. So clearly it's one dinar per day, and each day is a new day, each day is a new employment. So naslan schayim mos agoren v'inu lo chayli atchegi mos agoren, and those days are not chal until the mos agoren, and here I am paying it up front at a discounted rate. So the Gemara explains, no, you can't ask kashas from this case of employment. Amar Rava, v'tizbra zilzule b'schiros mi aser. Is it really aser to hire work for cheap? If a guy is willing to work for cheap, he wants to work for less than the real value, is that really a violation of ribbis? Is that really aser? As Rashbam explains in Dibra Masav v'tizbra, v'afilu heicha dehiktim la'adinam minisim v'losima adlegaren midal raisa shari. Meaning even in the case that we said is aser, where I'm hiring you now in Nisan, and I'm paying you a cheaper rate for the work that you're going to do for me in 3 months from now, but because I'm paying you up front, you're willing to take the lower salary, is that really aser? On the Darais level, that's mutter. It's a low dummy. Lola halva'a, v'lola mekach u'memkar, dispeo no bitl mekach. This is not a case of a halva'a, where I'm borrowing $100 and paying back $200, where the classic rib is. This is not a case of a no'a on mekach u'memkar, where I'm buying something and I'm cheating you in the pricing of it. Tasam vadi kimoz gabei michte shavio b'shvil akdamas hamaus nimsa shnos niyosu michte adamim shekibel. That's where you have time value of money, you know, because it's being paid earlier, you're getting less. But when I hire a worker and he's willing to work for cheap, it's not so obvious that it's because I'm paying him up front that he's willing to work for cheap. Abul schar tarcho shel adam lekacher nadli de darcha poel lahaskerat de derech rather poel lahaskeratzmo bekolshu. It's normal for a poel sometimes to work for very cheap kishen lo mayochal if he doesn't have what to eat. Vekol mashem kabla poel mi balabais revachu etzlo. Whatever the poel, you know, if he's not going to work that day, he's not going to make any money. If he works that day for a very low price, okay, so he'll make some money, and that, so whatever he makes is profit. It's all considered revach when it comes to the money that he's going to make. That's not considered a loss because he can normally charge a higher price. It's all considered revach. That's actually nogei lemaisa when it comes to a davra avid, a meleches chalamoid. What do we consider a davra avid? If I'm not going to be able to work today, so I'm not going to be able to earn any money today. So is that called a davra avid? So most of the poskim assume no, it's not a davra avid. It's just you didn't make money today, but that's not called davar avid. Davar avid is that you're going to lose out on something that you already have. Now, losing a job that you already have is called the davar avid, meaning it's true that I'm not going to lose any money that I already have, but they're going to fire me if I don't show up to the office. So that l'chara would be davar avid. But anyway, just minyas revach. You know, it's all revach. Whatever money you didn't make is only considered revach. So that's what the Gemara's answer over here. Tizra Zazuli Bischirus Miyasir. Do you really think this is Asr on a Daraisa level? What's really the difference between Maishna Resha, Maishna Sefer? What's really the difference between the case of the Resha, where the work doesn't start right away, and I'm paying you up front, and the case of the Sefer, where the work starts right away? Resha Deloka Avid Ba'adei Mehashta Mechzi Ki Agar Natali. In the Resha, it's that it looks like it's you're paying him up front and you're getting the cheaper rate because you're paying him up front. It's not that it's clearly that way midaraisa, it's that it smells like it, and that's why we don't allow it midrabanan. Sefer dekavod ba'adei mehashta lo mechzi ki agar natali. And the sefer doesn't look as bad. That's all. It's all a matter of how it looks. It's not a matter of the reality of the situation, because the reality of the situation is that it's all mutter. Okay, then the Mishnah went on to say v'im hayu mechubar b'karaka v'talash kol shuhu kana. So this was the Mishnah on daf pei dalet amud beis. It said that if you're buying pishtan from your friend, normally you have to do a hagbah, you have to lift it up, but if the pishtan is still mechubar lekarka, and you're only tolish, you only detach some of it from the ground, you're kona all the pishtan. Well, how does that work? I only lift up some of the pishtan from the ground, I detach some of it from the ground, I'm kona all of it. Mishum de tolish kolshu kona, because you're tolish just a kolshu, you're kona everything. So I'm Rav Sheshet, Sakam Eskinan, da'armele lech he says, go improve my ground, go improve my karka by a little bit, and when you make a minor improvement on my karka, I want you to be kona all of the pishtan that's on the karka. How exactly does that work? So the Rashbam explains in the very end of the first wide line, lech v'chzeik bekarka, make a kinyin chazaka on the karka, likros pishtan ha-mechubar ba, and that way you'll be kona the pishtan that's mechubar bekarka. The karka nikna b'chazaka. Karka could be acquired with the chazaka, v'kol ha-mechubar l'karka reu k'karka. And anything that's mechubar l'karka is like karka. Meaning, what are you trying to acquire? You're trying to acquire pishtan, but the pishtan is still attached to the ground. So the pishtan is the din of karka. Good. How does one acquire karka? You don't do kinyan agbah on karka. You kesef, shtar, chazaka. So you are doing a chazaka. How are you doing a chazaka? So you're improving the ground. That's nal gadar parat. You're making some improvement on the land. How are you improving it? By pulling out a little bit of pishtan. That's a minor improvement for that one little area that you left, because now you could do something else on that area. So that's a minor improvement on that little piece of karka, and through that your kona the mechubar lekarka, which has a din of karka. So Rashbam explains, v'asmas nisna shminan the cheskas karka mahani lepishtan v'afkav delozavin layara. The chiddush of our Mishnah is you're not actually buying the land. You're only buying the pishtan that's mechubar lekarka, that has a din of karka. And yeah, that works. Doing a chazaka by just doing something with the pishtan, you're kona the rest of the pishtan, even though you're not being kona the karka. Rashmin nami chazaka kala de beklitas pishtan mektsaso yachaliknas hashara mechubar. It's also a chiddush that you know the improvement you're making is very minor. You pick up a kolshu of pishtan from the ground. What did you really improve the karka? What, that you could plow now that kolshu of ground? So still, that counts. That's considered an improvement. The mocher tells you, I consider that an improvement to the ground. You take a little bit of pishtan, now that area that you took the pishtan from is open for plowing, I consider that to be an improvement, and therefore you're able to be kona through that. If you look at the top tosos, lech v'yafelech hakar kol shvikonik kol mashalah, klomer hachzeik bekarka ali deyifoy, that when you improve that ground, it's as if you were no vegadar kolshu. That's a kinyan chazaka. He understands very differently than the Rashbam. The Rashbam understood that the pishtan that's still attached to the ground is called karka. How are you kona that karka? By doing a chazaka. So you do a chazaka on the ground beneath it, and that chazaka is a chazaka that works for the pishtan, which is also karka. Tos says, no. What you're doing is, forget about the fact that the pishtan is mechubar lekarka. By doing that kinyan chazaka on the karka, it's as if you're doing a kinyan to borrow all the ground, Once you borrow the ground, the pishtan that's growing in that ground, you're kona with a kinyan chatzer. It's in your rishus. You're kona the rest of the pishtan with a kinyan chatzer. Not that it's a kinyan of nol gadur upara. It's on the pishtan itself because the pishtan is karka. No, it's a kinyan chatzer on the pishtan. Rav Shechter points out in the Simon Mem Hey of Ginas Egos that you see from this Tosfos that a kinyan chatzer is going to work to be kona. Mechuber lekarka, even though normally mechuber lekarka is a din of karka. Why would a kinyan chatzer work on something that's karka, that's not null gadur parts? So he says this is very similar to what we discussed yesterday about the kinyan of hagbah, that there are two types of kinyanim. There are some kinyanim that are about the maisa kinyan, that you do a maisa, and therefore if the maisa is shalo kederach, you do a meshich on something that requires hagbah, it's shalo kederach, you're not going to be kon. And then there are some things that are not about the maisa kinyan, it's about Himatze Bereshuso, that it's in your Rishus. Hagbah works on even something that's normal to be Moshech and not normal to be Magbiah, because bottom line is Himatze Bereshuso, it's in your Rishus. So Shatz points out, Kinyan Chatzer is clearly a Himatze Bereshuso type of Kinyan. And that's why Kinyan Chatzer is going to work even on that which is Mechuber LaKarka, because it's irrelevant that it's not, that's not the one of the normal Darkei Kinyanim of Karka. It's Himatze Bereshuso. And the very fact that it's Himatze Bereshuso, that itself is a kinyan. So that's how he explains the sheet of Tosos over here. Okay, new Mishnah now, middle of the page, Pei Zayin Amud Aleph. Says the Mishnah, Hamocher Yayin V'Shem L'Chavero. You're selling wine or oil to somebody else. Rav Shmuel points out it doesn't really have to be wine or oil; it could be anything. It's just that for the end of the Mishnah, where we're going to talk about dripping things out of kelim, it's got to be a liquid for the end of the Mishnah. So we start off with the liquid. So you're selling wine or oil, V'Hukru Oshu Huzlu, and in middle of the transferring of the product, it goes up or down in value. So one party obviously could benefit by backing out of the agreement. If it's before the full midah has been measured out, lemocher, the mocher could say, you know, it still belongs to me, the transaction is not complete. Mishin ismali samida, once it's already been fully measured out, lilokeach, now it belongs to the lokeach. But if there was a third party that was doing the measuring, nishbra chavis nishbra l'sirser. If the barrel breaks, that's the sirser's problem, that the barrel broke. He's not considered the shliach of anybody. See, the sirser makes money by being a sirser. By being a third party, he buys the wine from one person, he sells it to another person, and for his troubles, he can sell it at a markup. That's business. That's the way things work. Yeah, that's business. But if while he's the one that has possession of the wine, something bad happens to the wine, he takes the loss on that wine. So nishpra l'sirser, says Tosfos, Pirusha Kunshus Lefisha Sirsur Kona Liatzmo. That's the way the Rashbam explains, the way we just said, that the Sirsur is koned for himself, V'chozer U'mocher L'Balabayis. And then he turns around and sells it to the Balabayis. Etema, Dimkena, Maynaka, Nishbra, V'shavik Yukra V'zula. Why would it change the case? Meaning, previously we were talking about it goes up in value, goes down in value, who benefits, who loses, and then all of a sudden we're talking about the Sirsur, we're not talking about going up and down in value anymore, it's just talking about it gets destroyed, it's gone. Why would you have to say that? If it's really a third party that's buying it, so if it goes up in value, it goes up in value for him, goes down in value for him, why do we have to talk about breaking it? V'shavak yukra v'zulu dairi b'reisha, havlei l'meimer av Sirsur b'neim v'hukra v'huzlu. Why not talk about the Sirsur and talk about a case where it goes up or down in value? So Tos explains, that we're not talking about a guy who's buying and then selling at a markup. No, he's not buying. The lokeach is buying. He's a shaliach of the lokeach to do the purchase. He gets paid for his troubles of being a shliach, but it's a salary. It's a salary that he gets paid. It's not that he's in business to do the buying and do the selling at his own markup. And therefore, yukra v'huzla has no relevance to him. He's not a mocher, he's not a lokeach. So it has no relevance to him. but he was posheya in the way he handled the kli that he was using, and therefore he broke it. So then nishbra l'sirsu gon shloim machmasonas aydei shlonizu yafa b'medida. He wasn't careful when he was measuring it out, and that was his one job. That's what he's being paid for, to do the trouble of measuring it out and being careful and make sure not to drop anything while he's doing it. And he drops it and he breaks it. So that's what it means. It's a sirsu's responsibility because he's the one that's because he's being paid dafka for that job. That's how Tosfos understands, different than the Rashbam. Anyway, the second half of the Mishnah says the Mishnah, v'chayv lahatif lo shalosh tipin. When you're measuring out oil or wine for someone, you have to not only wait till the big gush, you know, the big spill, but let it drip out to the point where it drips one, two, three drips one after another. Then that's enough. You don't have to sit there waiting till every last drop comes out of the kli. Let's say you tilt it on its side and some of it pools on the side of the kli as it's after it's finished pouring out. So the mocher gets to keep whatever pooled on the side of the kli. A chenveni doesn't have to wait for the three drops because the chenveni is very busy. He's got a lot of customers. He doesn't have time to sit there waiting for drips to come out. When it's just two people in making a single time, one time sale, you wait for three drips. But Chenveni is a busy man. He doesn't have time to wait for three drips. He has a lot of other customers. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Erev Shabbos Simcha Sheicha, Potter. So the Gemara is going to discuss what Rabbi Yehuda is talking about. But he says something is different on Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, everybody's in a rush, so something is different on Erev Shabbos. Someone's Potter from doing something on Erev Shabbos. So we'll see in the Gemara what that means. Frak the Gemara first. Hamida deman. You know, when we said that a guy is selling wine or oil and it goes up or down in value, so the kinyan is only complete once it's fully measured out. Well, whose kli is it? Doesn't that make a big difference? Ilem amida de lokeach. If you say it's lokeach's kli, then achlan esmalis mida lemocher. Before you finish measuring it out, everything still belongs to the mocher? Midat lokeachi. It's in the lokeach's kli. Shouldn't it already belong to whatever's in the lokeach's kli? Shouldn't that already belong to the lokeach? What? So you want to say velamida de mocher? You want to say we're talking about it's the mocher's kli? Mishen esmalis mida lelokeach. Well, then why, when you finish measuring it out, does it already belong to the lokeach? Mida de mocher hi. It's a measuring utensil belongs to the mocher. By virtue of what has the lokeach been called? It. So the Gemara explains, Amar Rabbi Lo, b'midas sirsur. Our Mishnah is assuming that we're talking about a third party's kli that's being used. So that's what we say, only when the measuring is filled, then it belongs to the lokeach. Wait, but in the first part of the Mishnah, we hadn't yet introduced the notion of sirsur. Sirsur only came up in the next line. V'ami d'ktani seifa v'imayu sirsur b'neim nishbar achavis nishbar l'sirsur m'chal d'reish alav b'sirsur askinan. From the fact that the next line introduces us to a sirsur implies that up until that point, there was no sirsur. So says Gemara, there's a big difference between sirsur, the person, and using the kli that belongs to a third party when there is no person there. Reisha mida below sirsur. In the first part of the Mishnah, we're talking about a kli that belongs to a third party. Where is this third party? He's not there. He's not doing anything. You're just using his kli. Seifa b'sirsur atzmo. What the seifa introduces is the presence of the guy himself, and he's the third party. He's the one that's actually doing the measuring. So that's okay. The Reisha could still be talking about the kli of the sirsur. We then said that if you tilt the kli on its side and it drips, everything drips out, but a little bit pools on the side of the kli because it's not upside down, it's on the side, so that the mocher gets to keep. So the Gemara explains, Kisalik Rabbi Lazar, when Rabbi Lazar went to Ashkel Ziri, he saw Ziri, Amalei, Mi Kantana da Asnia Rav Midos. Who's the one here? Which is the person that taught the whatever brises there were to teach to Rav or from Rav about midos, about measurements and about how to buy and sell things and what measurements you need for buying and selling? So Achvi Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi said, Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi is your man. He's the one you want to talk about if you want to find out about midos. Now what does it mean, Asnia Rav Midos? Does that mean that learnt midos, dinim of midos from Rav, or that taught dinim of midos to Rav. So Tosos discusses this. Tosos Mikantan is listening to Rav Midos. Rabbeinu Shmuel Magia da Asnia Rav. Kolomar Sheshana Lo Rav Midos. Not that taught Rav Midos, but that Rav taught him Midos. Mishum Dekash Lehechi Tachin Shoy Rav Shal Rav. Because it can't be that they would point to Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi as the guy who taught Rav all about Midos. Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi could not have been Rav's Rebbe, because Vayibiyame Rava Hava. Because Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi lived in the days of Rava, because Amrin B'Yavamas, Amar Rava Amrli Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. So he was clearly later than Rav. So there's no way that he was Rav's Rebbe. He must have been someone who learned from Rav. But says Tosas, I have a problem. The kashra lebein tam, the parakol of Basar Amar Ikatana da Asnia l'Rav Chal. Who's the one that taught Rav, that taught to Rav about Chal? Achti the Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, and they pointed to Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. Amle Anilo Shenisilo Chal Kolikru L'dvar Vavle Lemer Mimenu. But according to what we're saying right now, it should not have been taught to Rav. It should have been learnt from Rav, Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. So says Rabbeinu Tam, Vamar Rabbeinu Tam, Tulsa says this kind of thing all over Shas, Dishnei Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi Havu. There must have been two people by the same name. Chad B'Yimei Rebbe, V'Chad B'Yimei Rava. One lived in the days of Rebbe, must have taught Rav. One in the days of Rava must have learned from Rav. So it must be that there were two Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimis. Then Tulsa says, not so clear that there were two Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimis. But okay. So says Gemara, so now he found Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. Amalei, my kakashalach. So he said, what can I help you with? It seems that you have a kasha on Midas. No, what's your kasha? Titnan, hirchino, mitzis, harehu shalmocher. Our Mishnah says that if you tilt the kli and a little bit of it pulls up, the mocher gets to keep whatever pulls up. But when you're giving truma, whatever pulls up goes to truma. You don't get to keep that. That goes to truma. Why the difference? Why when it comes to a sale, the mocher keeps it, and when it comes to truma, the truma which is receiving it all goes to truma. Because when it comes to a sale, the guy who's buying it is miyaish, and whatever is left in the kli. When it comes to truma, there's no one to be miyaish. There's a ritual law that this is chayiv in truma. This is part of the halacha of what belongs to truma. Tosfos points out you have to say that you declared this entire barrel to be truma. Normally 1/50th, that's the measure of truma. So what is this? Is this 1/50th? No, it must be you declared the entire barrel to be truma. By maestros, you wouldn't be able to say such thing, because maestros has to be an exact number. It's got to be 10%. So you would just look, is this more than 10%? Is it less than 10%? That's your answer. But by truma, it could really be any number. 1/50th is the recommended amount. But you could give more, you can give less. So that's the case by truma. Okay, v'achenveni enu chayiv lahatif. We said that a chenveni doesn't have to do the dripping. So what does he mean by that? What is Rabbi Yehuda saying that a chenveni is different? I'm sorry, then Rabbi Yehuda said something about Erev Shabbos. What does Rabbi Yehuda mean about Erev Shabbos? When it says you have to drip three drips, is that what Rabbi Yehuda is saying? That on Erev Shabbos you don't have to wait for three drips. No one's got time in Erev Shabbos to wait for three drips. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying a kula? Or do we assume that no? That Rabbi Yehuda is commenting on the chenveni. We said a chenveni doesn't have to drip at all. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying, if it's Erev Shabbos, the chenveni doesn't have to drip at all. But during the week, the chenveni is not so busy, he should have to drip. And therefore Rabbi Yehuda is saying a chumra. So Tashma, the Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Erev Shabbos and Chashecha, Chenveni Pater, Mireisha Chenveni Tavrin. Rabbi Yehuda is going on the Sefer, he's saying a Chumra. That whereas the Tanakhama says that the Chenveni never has to wait for the three drips, because the Chenveni is too busy to be waiting for three drips, Rabbi Yehuda says, now only on Erev Shabbos the Chenveni doesn't have to wait for three drips, but every other day of the week he absolutely does have to wait for the three trips. Okay, new Mishnah. Hashaleach has been oetz l'chenveni. A person sends his son with money to the store. Umadadlo bi'isra shemen v'nasalosi isra. Rosh Bam quotes from his grandfather from Rashi that the pshat over here is you send him with a $10 bill to the store to buy a $5 item. So the storekeeper is going to give him the $5 item and he's going to give him $5 of change. So that's what you're coming back with shemen and with an isar. The child should be coming back with shemen and with a coin, with a smaller coin. Shavar Satsalochis Vavarasi Isar. And kids do what kids do. He breaks the oil, loses it on the way, he loses the money. So Chenveni Chayiv. The Chenveni is responsible for that, because who gives a kid money and then trusts him with the oil? He shouldn't have done that. Rabbi Yehuda Poter, Shalmanaskin Shalchov. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not the Chenveni's responsibility. There's the father that sent the kid with the $10 bill in the first place. So he's the one that obviously wanted the kid to have it. Umodim Chacham Rabbi Yehuda, Bizman shat slochus piyaratinok umad darchen v'ni l'tocha shechen v'ni pater. The Chamar modet Rabbi Yehuda that if the child is holding a slochus, he's holding the plate that you're measuring the oil into, and then the oil gets lost or whatever, the plate gets broken. So then the chen v'ni is going to be pater in that case. Now it is interesting. The shita of the Rabbanan is that it's the chen v'ni's responsibility. So the Gemara is going to discuss. The Gemara says, "Bishlam biser v'shemen b'ha pligi." The Rabbanan savelo duay shadre, Rabbi Yehuda savelo shturi le shadre. What are the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda arguing about? Why did I send the kid with the $10 bill? Did I send the kid with the $10 bill to the store because I want the chen v'ni to know that I'm interested in oil, and therefore he should measure out that amount of oil and send it with his delivery man, who's an adult who we can trust, but not to send it with the kid. It's just lo duay to let him know. And if he gives it to my kid, he's nuts. He shouldn't do that. It's his responsibility. Or did I send him l'shluchei? No, I sent the kid because I want the chen v'ni to give it to the kid. But the sheet of the Rabbanan is la'odue, not to send it with the kid, just to let him know. And l'chara, that's how we would paskin. Rav Zilberstein has in Chashukei Chemed, you send the kid to the makolet, and the kid, ma'isim b'chol yom in Israel, no? They send the kid to the makolet, he comes back with nothing. But the chen v'ni gave him, you know, the change, and he gave him like all these shekels or whatever, and they're all over the place, and the kid lost everything. So is the chen v'ni responsible? So Pashtus is the chen v'ni should be responsible. But he quotes Rameir Arik in the Imre Yosher Chel Beis in Kufyud Beis says Bizmanenu the minig is that you send it with a katan, and the minig is an ikur gadol b'torah. When it comes to dina mamnis, when it comes to minig is very critical in all these prakim we've been saying that. So he says, but that's only if you gave it to the child in a responsible way. You fold up the bills, you stick it in the kid's pocket. You know, you give it to him in a way that it's not. But you just, you know, throw the money at him and he doesn't know where. So that's not fair. That you can't expect the child to be able. Then it's going to be the chen v'ni's responsibility. Okay, we've finished a little short. I thank Alicia in advance for covering that for the next few days, and I guess we'll pick up from there. Thank you very much. Oh, yeah.